You won't believe me when I say this, but I prepared a shorter message today. Hey, let me tell you what, Brock, you see those that clapped? You know, okay. Write their names down so we don't forget. Yeah, y'all just gave yourself away. We know who the immature Christians are now. So, you know, I had a guy at a church one time tell me, he's on his way out, he said, "Preacher," he says, "my mind can only handle as much as my hiney can." You know, he says, when it gets tired of sitting there, I can't pay attention anymore. All right, well, I figure we had a lot going on today, and we have in the past, and it caused us to go over quite a bit. So we're gonna look. The title of the message is Prioritizing What God Says. Let me read the passage, then I'll just pray for the sermon, and then we'll go from there. I'm gonna be looking pretty much at Psalm 119, 9 through 11. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Let's pray. God, we ask for you to bless the reading of your word, the preaching of it. Pray that you will use me, an unworthy vessel, God, to communicate the truths that you would have. Lord, I pray that you will give us all of us in here, Lord, the discipline and the desire and the love that we need to prioritize what you say. Be with us during this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been, I don't know how many times I've preached different sermons from this particular passage throughout my life. It's the first, Psalm 119:11 is the first verse I memorized as a Christian, which is apropos that it would be. "I've stored up your word in my heart so that I will not sin against you." I think it's the perfect verse to memorize. It's easy, and it makes sense when it comes to memorizing God's Word and the importance of it. This past week, we took a group of parents, college-age students, and youth on what we call a discipleship weekend. Disciple Now. Many of them are here today, and our theme was priorities. As you can see, us all wearing these different colored shirts. And I'd love to say we all went off and focused on this, and we've all come back brand new people. And we are now people that prioritize things, the right things, all the time. But we know that's probably not true, isn't it? If we learn one thing on the trip, is life can get busy, just like our trip got busy. And it can get in the way of us prioritizing the things that we should. And I don't want you to make the mistake to think that I'm just speaking only to those that went on this trip today. I'm hoping that we've got something here for all of us. The word priority means something of first importance. Even in the word priority, we see the word prior as a makeup, a base, foundation for the word. These are things that we ought to do prior to other things that we do. And all of us do many things throughout a day, and we all have priorities. It's just not that we all have our priorities in the right order. For some in here, the first thing they do in the morning is they drink their coffee. They can't live without their coffee. If you said Jesus or coffee, They would hesitate. They go, "I guess it'll be Jesus." There are others in here, the first thing they do is they get on their phone. Maybe they see what's going on in the sports world. What happened between midnight and 7 o'clock? Nothing. Some may get in front of the mirror and spend a great deal of time getting ready. I purposely did not gender that. We had devotions while we were on the trip to read every day. Some may have read them every day, but I doubt that all of them did. But in them, there are different priorities to focus on. One day it was the priority of the gospel, then prioritizing the right things. And on another day it was prioritizing God's Word, and then the presence of God, and then prioritizing things in our life and devotion, and then one day prioritizing the fear of God in our life. And today I want us to consider, as a church, how important it is to prioritize what God has said to us. When I was younger, I don't think my dad would characterize me as a bad son. I don't think I was. I usually did what my dad told me to do, although at times it would have been reluctant. But I didn't always listen as closely as I should have. Most of the time I just thought I could figure things out on my own. And my dad would usually do one of two things. Either he would tell me to go do something and not give me enough information, or he would over-explain things. How many of you here have over-explaining parents? If you have an over-explaining parent, it's because they feel like they have an under-listening kid. Coming from one over-explaining parent to another. He would over-explain things to the point that maybe at times I would zone out. I can almost always recall his words, however, back to him. That wasn't the issue. And I may have known that there was a certain way that I should do a thing, but I also like to take shortcuts to get it done a little bit faster. Or I'd be in a hurry to get... I'm always in a hurry to get something done. For whatever reason, or at times, my mind would maybe be on something else. So let me just give you a few examples of my farm fails, okay? Most of you probably didn't grow up in the same way that I did, so you may have to use your imagination a little bit for this. This is just my story. There was this one time that I came within about an inch of flipping a tractor over on its head. Because I decided to unload a trailer full of hay on the side of a hill. And I got a little bit top heavy and started to come over. It was close. There was also this time that wasn't long after I started driving. I drove up to this place where we were working and I parked my dad's truck on a hill. And I didn't put it in park. Well, as you can imagine, it didn't stay where it was. And it went down the hill and through somebody's fence. But interestingly, I had no idea. It didn't do it right away. I walked away and later found out that it was down there. There was this time that I didn't put the parking brake on the tractor on a hill. And I go down to shut the gate only to feel, and the tractor had run into me, but luckily, it hit the post. And if it had, it'd run over me. My wife, you probably don't need to hear all these things. These are things of the past. Experience is my guide. Experience has been my teacher. I'm much more careful. There's also another time I forgot to connect the hay cutter. I hope my dad's not listening. These are only four things. There were a lot of years. I'm 43 years old. So it's like once every 10 years I mess up. I forgot to connect the hay cutter correctly. And these things, they're massively heavy pieces of equipment. And you can fold them up like this, and it's a lot of weight. And anyway, I didn't have it the right way, and it fell over and bent off bars and metal, like metal that just shouldn't be bent. In all of these situations, and I could go on for probably two more, okay? I probably only have about two more mistakes. If you ask my brother, he might could list quite a few more than that. But in all of these, I knew better. This is the deal. None of those things that happened had I not been told previously the right way to do things. I knew they were important, but I didn't necessarily make them important. And I want to say that it probably went beyond just absent-mindedness. It was careless. I share these things with you just to make a point that there are certain things in life that we cannot afford to overlook or forget to put out of order. And the top of this list is the things that God has to say. God has told us certain things that we must pay attention to. And it's not just enough to read what He says, although that is good. I listened to what my father had to say. It's also not good enough to read and understand the things that God has said. I heard Him, and I understood what He meant. I knew the importance of it. But rather, we must read, we must understand, and we must also put into practice the things that He has said. In my illustration, I heard, I understood, but in the end, I didn't quite put those things into practice. And in my examples, my neglect led to equipment being messed up, which cost money, and on a couple of occasions, it could have cost me my life. And now, as I said before, and I just want to make sure my wife and my children know that experience has been my teacher, okay? I am much wiser now. I don't make those same mistakes. Ever. Now let's consider why it's so important to put God's instructions at the front of our mind. Sadly for many of us, myself included, we don't handle what God has to say as we should. Notice the psalmist's concern in his own life for this very thing. And we must make it our concern. In just these couple verses, we learn he is worried about wandering from God's commandments. And when I say wandering, I'm spelling it with an A, W-A-N-D-E-R, right? And not wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R. He's not confused. He just doesn't want to get away. He is worried about sinning against Him. Let's read verse 10 and 11 again. Let me not wander from Your commandments. I've stored up Your words in my heart that I might not sin against You. He is concerned he may wander away from the things that God has said. To wander means to go astray from, to walk away from, to walk in another way, to do things differently than that which he was told. We wander from the path when we disregard the words he has said. And he uses wander from his commandments synonymously with sinning against God. He uses them interchangeably. Notice he says, let me not wander from Your commandments. And then immediately he has a solution to keep that from happening. I have stored Your word in my heart. And why has he done that? Well, it seems that he thinks that that will keep him from wandering. Or as he says immediately after, so that I may not sin against You. God has given us, and sometimes I don't want it, but in His wisdom He has done it, the freedom to wander from His Word and from His commandments. But it's not good for us. At times, it can be catastrophic in your life. And it may not seem like a big deal at the time, but it can lead to more pain than you can ever imagine. And it isn't that God is wanting to keep us from fun things. God knows that His commands are the best. He knows that ultimately they are for our greatest good. He knows that there is life and beauty in walking in His ways. He knows that sin is corrosive. It breaks down fellowship between God and us. It breaks down our fellowship between us and others, doesn't it? I mean, think about how many times your heart and your mouth has not necessarily been right. And how many relationships has that hurt? It constantly eats away at who you are as a person. It brings about death. As we know, the wages of sin is death. And it's not just an immediate death, it's a slow death. It isn't just dying one day in the future, it's living in the stench of death today. These are the consequences of it. And the thing about this wandering and this sinning against God is we oftentimes think it only affects us. But it doesn't. It always seems to find a way to affect those around us. It affects our family most. Our kids, our spouses, our brothers, our sisters, our parents. It affects our friends and all the people that we come in contact with. We think that it doesn't. We think our sin is just our problem. It only hurts me, but it usually hurts most of the people around you. Just like Eve. You read the story, I guess, in the Bible of Adam and Eve and how Eve took from the tree the knowledge of good and evil and she gave to her husband to eat. Her sin affected her husband, and ultimately his sin affected her children, and that sin affected all of us. It's never satisfied. It's like that bag of cookies or chips right in front of you, right? You may just start with just a few, but for some of you, before long, you've eaten the whole bag. And you wonder, how in the world did I eat that whole bag? One at a time, right? One at a time. Your appetite never being satiated. And sin will make you say, how in the world did I end up here? The song that Jonah and Courtney sang, He Will Hold Me Fast, I think in the second verse, talked about how His love is often cold. You know, we sing the song, Come Thou Fount, where He says that line, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. This is our nature as people. We're prone to wander away from God. You know, sin will cause us to say and do things that we never thought we might say or do. You know, it's like that story of the frog in the water, right? If you put the frog in the boiling hot water, it jumps right out. But if you put the frog in some lukewarm water and then warm it up, it'll just stay swimming until before long is dead. This is what sin does to us. So this writer is concerned with these things. He sees and he understands that this is the case. And he says to God, I want to prevent this from happening. And so he goes to extremes to make sure he's at least ready and knows what to do. He wants to make sure he is prioritizing what God has said to him. And so as we see, he says, I've stored up your word in my heart. I was to ask us today, how many of us have read through the Bible? I think we have a lot more have read the Bible today than maybe 4 or 5 years ago, right? And then maybe we ask, how many Bible verses, how many of you here have 10 Bible verses memorized? Or maybe we say, how many Bible verses have you memorized just this year? Is it something that you make a priority in your life, a practice? Something that you're working on consistently? And when he says, stored up your word in my heart, what does he mean there? What exactly is he saying? Because, you know, I know from just listening to young people and just others, a lot of times we can memorize something and never know what it means, right? Like how many songs that come on the radio, the lyrics, you've got every word memorized and you may or may not even know what in the world the song's talking about. Now, some of you, like my kids, they're all into the meaning of the lyrics. They pay attention to them and stuff like that. But, you know, some of us, we don't necessarily do that. So it goes back to my example of my mess ups. It wasn't always that I didn't know what my dad had told me. It's just sometimes I wasn't paying attention to those things. Or maybe I wasn't taking them seriously, or I'd forgotten. When he says he stores up the word in his heart, this Hebrew word is translated in different ways. Some may say hidden. Some may say treasured. The meaning is rich. It does mean to treasure, but not just that he sees it as a treasure. He treats it as a treasure. Now, I've shared some of these things with you before. He stores it in his inner being, which he describes as within his heart. When you see the word heart in the scriptures, it's usually in just describing your innermost being. He does not simply store it as useless information as one would store junk. He treasures it. It's not simply memorization that is in mind. It's much more. And it's storing up His Word, taking it and thinking on it and meditating on it. As we memorize it, then we begin to treasure it. But don't make the mistake of just reading it to learn. It's, as I've said before, not an encyclopedia. His Word is not just meant to be ingested. It's not just to be taken in. It's meant to be savored. We do not go to Him just so we can know certain things, but so we can know Him. Because we're deeply longing to delight in the God who speaks. Simply memorizing His Word is of little value if we do not understand its great value. A great amount of people have memorized a great amount of God's Word, yet remain unchanged. Those who store it as a treasure, understanding His Word as uniquely valuable, are the people that get it. They see it just like the psalmist in Psalm 19, verses 10 through. It's interesting. Yeah, Psalm 119 kind of speaks to this, and then Psalm 19 in the same part speaks of this. It says that they were singing, because it's a psalm, that His Word is more to be desired are they than gold. Even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great rewards. There's value. He says it's greater than gold and sweeter than honey. Gold was the greatest value, like the greatest and the most precious material they had in those days, and even I think to this day probably. If you have gold, you have something valuable. And honey, in those days, that was the sweetest thing that they had. The most desirable thing to taste and to eat. And they value it. There's a promise of reward with it. I've asked this question before. I ask it of myself often. It's a silly question. But it's, if I were to be given $100, let me ask it this way. If I were to give you $100 for every Bible verse you memorize and meditate on, how many would you have memorized by the end of the day? I mean, a lot, right? If you knew you were going to get a Benjamin at the end of it, you'd be like, for real, I'll quit my job. I can memorize enough verses to quit my job, okay, in a day. Well, not in one day, but if I did it every day, okay? It'd be no problem. We make a lot of money that way. So do we truly see God's Word as breathed out by Him and as a great treasure? I'm confident there isn't a person listening today that wouldn't stop everything they were doing and memorize and meditate on God's Word if they knew that they were going to get a physical reward right then. But the spiritual rewards are much greater. They're much greater. It's hard to see it. It's almost impossible to see how important it is without some supernatural help. Every verse we store up is an act of faith in what God says. We're activating our faith when we work to memorize what God says. So we ask the question, where's our faith today? Faith isn't something we simply say we have. It's something that we live out. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we learn the Bible said it is impossible to please God without faith. Then it's written that for one to draw near to God, they must, remember what it says, believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And there's no greater, more diligent way to seek God than in His Word. How in the world do you know whether I'm full of bull or not? I mean, just think about it. Why would you listen to me in the first place? I was thinking about that yesterday. Why would you listen to some dude from Mississippi? And for some of you, I'm half your age. And for the younger, I'm too old to really matter, right? Why is what I have to say matter? It doesn't. What I have to say does not matter. I'm wrong a lot. I hate to admit that. I'm full of it a lot. Like, I just say things sometimes. I think I'm right, and I just ain't. So if you're out there and you know God's Word, you'll know whether I'm full of it or not. You'll know whether the things that I am saying are originating from me or they are originating from God. Now, there are often many times that I don't feel like I should do this. Like, who am I to preach God's Word? But then I read the Bible and I found out that God used a donkey to talk for Him one time, and I feel like I'm smarter than a donkey. At least a little bit. So, how do you view His Word? How do you prioritize? I know it's not easy. Like, there's just so many other things. And then we want to, like, Satan's pulling at us, trying to keep. He doesn't want it, I'm telling you. He'll do everything to keep you from it. Like, He'll offer you the world to keep you away from God's Word. So the invitation is this. You know, what do you find yourself concerned with in your life? Many of us become experts at a great many of things. We may be a sports fanatic. We may know all there is to know about politics. Some of us may be up on all the latest trends. Some of us know everything that's happening in culture. Sadly, for most people, even in the church, they have a shallow knowledge of what God has said. For others, they may know some things, but they lack understanding. And others, they know and they understand, but they just disregard. And if you're honest, you have to ask the question, which one are you? No one said it's going to be easy. But you must immerse yourself in a thing to fully grasp it. The reason that the things of this world are so easy for us to grasp is because we're immersed in the culture. Right? It's easy to understand that which you're in the middle of every day. But if we immerse ourselves in God's Word, it will become much easier for us to understand it, to grasp it, to use it, and to love it. And in the Bible, we learn the greatest thing ever, right? That God sent His Son to this earth because we're sinners, to die for us so that we could have eternal life if we trust in His work and turn from our sins. And God raised Him up on that third day, showing His great power over death. And that's our future. That's the promise that God has for us in the future. We'll have a hymn of invitation. If God's working in you in any way, I encourage you to come and encourage you to prioritize God's Word and then help others do it. It may come easier for you than it does for other people. So maybe grab somebody that you love, that you care about, and help them get in His Word like they ought to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank You just for Your just never-ending grace, Lord. It just never stops. Your mercies are new every morning. We know it. Help us, God. We just need so much help to be people that really love Your Word and savor it and memorize it and live it out. Father, we pay close attention to it. We're not mindless. We don't disregard it. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who died for us so that we could have eternal life. We pray all these things in His name. Amen.